Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are we this fine day?
We're doing well. We're stretching.
Yes, we try to do
our
little
morning stretching.
Yeah. Well, and it's a very exciting morning.
Yes.
There was some drastic change.
Oh, wow.
Overnight.
Don't you love change?
Change is excellent.
CBC Change World. I was actually up at 3 watching that Toronto feed.
Were you?
Yeah,
because
really? I couldn't sleep. I was
you
so excited.
Are such a junkie.
I know what a nerd I am, right? And Toronto was surprised.
Toronto was surprised.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so. In case you're living in a small hole in your backyard,
yes.
The NDP swept to power in Alberta yesterday.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I still can't believe I just said those words.
I know. And my kids were asking me, well, why is that important? What does that mean? I don't understand. You know, they only got 50.
Yeah, 50 votes.
Right? They only got 50 votes. I'm like, no, they got 50 seats. Anyway, so I said it would be like, so my husband Dave has skied his entire life, downhill skier, totally radical, black diamond, you know, double black, extreme, loves to ski. I said it would be as if your dad woke up one morning and said, okay, boys, today and from now on, we are cross-country skiers. And my sons went, oh, that is big. Because
okay.
I couldn't figure out how else to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's big.
That is pretty big.
And it's a big
43 years.
Yeah.
Of rule.
And I think it was a win for moderation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be or.
That's right. It doesn't have to be extreme in any one way.
Yes.
It's okay to be in the middle because balanced approaches seem to be what kind of works these days.
Yeah. And Alberta took that lead, and I hope we're all listening. We have to stop saying or and stop saying and.
Well, yeah.
And an economy and an environment.
Exactly.
Right? And wealth and public service.
Yeah.
And. Yay. And one.
And bicycles.
And bicycles. Also a wonderful moderate form of transportation.
It happens to be the topic of today's show.
That's
because
right.
It's the first Artscape in Bike Month.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Did you bicycle today?
I did not because I was watching the election and did not get my bike maintained.
Oh.
Because safety is important.
Safety first.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's important to do that early year maintenance.
Yes.
Because you just never know on that first sunny day when you go, let's go for a bike ride, and then
and
you can't.
Yeah. Tires flat.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a lesson for next year.
Yes. But it's on the list.
It's on the list.
I'm re-energized.
Well,
ready to ride.
Yeah. I actually did not ride either to work today, but our engineer did.
Yes, he did.
But I had to give a ride to our daughter to school because she was responsible for preparing one of those gigantic thank you cards for a scholarship that their band received because they got best concert band at the music festival.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How exciting.
So they got a scholarship from SASCU. And so she was put in charge of doing the great big card that they all can sign. So it was kind of hard to figure out how we were going to bicycle that to school today. So I said,
some things don't fit on a bike.
No.
My friend and roommate in Vancouver used to ride her bike from downtown to Richmond. And you know, it's great fitness. And then one day she had to bring food for some sort of event, and she sort of was puzzled at how was she going to get that watermelon on the back of her bike. And I said, yeah, I don't think not happening.
That's going to be tough. Yeah.
That there are some things that don't quite work.
Yeah. And I've tried, Eric and I have talked about building a little trailer for my bike that holds canvases and my paint box and everything.
Oh, wow.
Because I find that challenging. I'd like to be able to go down the nature trail, but it's really, it's hard work carrying all those big things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have a little tiny trailer to carry it all. And then same thing if I'm just carrying work back and forth to the gallery.
Or what about one of those little baby things?
Well, that could work too.
Yeah.
I'd rather have something custom built, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Something
cool.
Artistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could. That could be a disruptive innovation.
Oh, I like that term.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that. But the bicycle was a disruptive innovation.
Yeah.
And as a result, entire countries changed.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and as a matter of fact,
yes,
that was the title of our exhibition in 2012 at the gallery, The Bicycle as an Agent of Social Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it is the form of art, transportation, utilitarian object that really changed the world.
Yes.
And it changed women, emancipation. It changed the oil industry.
It's freedom, right? Is what a bicycle.
It changes. That's, yeah, right. It changes kids' lives.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So here's a quote. Think of bicycles as rideable art that can change, that can just about save the world.
Wow.
It's true.
It is. Rideable art.
Rideable art.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll go way back. Just in case you weren't aware, the bike was invented in Germany in 1817. It had no gears, no pedals, or brakes. And it was called the running machine.
The running machine.
Yeah. Because the rider just sat on the saddle.
So it's like a run bike.
Yeah.
Which they have now for kids.
That's right. Yeah. For little ones when they're first figuring that out. Mm-hmm. So they just moved with their, you know, with the stride of their feet. And they could go up to about 9 miles an hour.
Wow.
So that's like pretty significant in terms of getting you somewhere fast.
Yes, it could.
Don't ding.
I know.
Dinging.
Sorry. Dinging.
So after that, things started to progress really quickly, right? Because as soon as somebody, you know, people of thoughtfulness see things like that, they go, oh, I can make that better.
Yeah.
So by, you know, early in the 1800s.
Well, that's innovation.
Yeah, exactly.
Always innovate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a fellow, Kirkpatrick MacMillan.
Mm-hmm.
He invented the first pedal bike. So he was a Scottish blacksmith. That was 1839. So he actually added the pedals. And therefore, you know, you could go a lot further without the walking energy being spent.
Sure. Momentum.
For people that can't see me, yeah, I'm doing the motion.
She's doing the motion with her arms. Yeah. Like a duck.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the beginning. And then, oh my gosh, things happened so fast after that. There was all kinds of varieties of different bikes. Mm-hmm. The velocipede.
And the penny farthing.
Yeah.
Yes. The big front wheel. The little back.
I know. Yeah. That's the sort of the historical, iconic bicycle, mm-hmm, right? Like the one that you see, if you see something with the gigantic front wheel, that's like, oh, that's the old style.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another
was the velocipede.
And in those days, the wheels were made of wood.
Oh, wow.
So the other invention was the rubberized air-filled tire.
Right.
It was huge.
Which must have been very happy, comfortable.
Yes.
When people figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And followed closely by the padded seat. Because yeah, that's an important piece too.
That's right.
Right.
So when the penny farthing bike was invented, that's when people started racing.
Mm.
Racing started. Bicycle racing.
Crazy.
I know. So that was by the late 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the bone shaker.
The bone shaker?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Because I guess that was... Because
it shook your bones?
Well, probably because it was wooden and,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
nasty. But it was...
And they wouldn't have had paved roads. It would have been cobblestone.
Right.
And,
cobblestone. Right? Ugh. And just
or
dirt.
Just dirt.
Packed, yeah, dirt.
Oh, and they had no padded seats. Yeah. Ouch. Now we're so spoiled. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's gotten
speeds.
Yeah. Well, and then we got, so we have pedals. We got brakes by late 1800s.
Oh, there you go.
Stop. And then there was more metal being used. And so by the time we hit 1900s, then we actually... You know, we're in a situation where we were engineering them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big, you know, it was kind of a, there was moments in bicycle history where there were great pushes on engineering. And
yes.
Yeah.
And also those pushes were informed by what was going on in history.
For sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because if we could just jump ahead, just mm-hmm, very briefly, mm-hmm, in 1973, when the oil embargo happened, there was, of course, a great surge in interest in bicycling as a commuting transportation vehicle.
Yeah, because it's too expensive. Cars were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it spurred the new...
High.
Yeah, it spurred a whole bunch of engineering, mm-hmm, because all of a sudden, if there's interest again, then there's money to be made, right?
Yeah.
And if people are interested in commuting, they want comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mm-hmm, there was an enormous push in the 70s.
Yeah, because prior to that, it was... 3-speed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there weren't any mountain bikes then, right?
No
mountain bikes were just in the 70s too that were mm-hmm, invented. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was a way far ahead. What I'd love to go back to is the bicycle and the woman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because that's pretty important.
It's true. So important. And so these are themes we explored during the show.
Yes.
And it was quite an unusual. It was a bit of disruptive.
We're getting
innovation
messages
too, wasn't it?
Yes, it's okay. We just got a
right?
message
okay.
from
the
engineer.
The whole, that actual show was disruptive technology for us as a gallery.
Yes.
Because we started to explore things like this.
Yeah.
And we picked the bicycle because it's so accessible.
Yeah.
Right? So not everybody wants to walk into the gallery and explore 18th century watercolor landscapes, right?
Right.
Sounds sort of, that's not their thing.
Yeah.
But who doesn't love a bicycle?
Yeah.
Right?
It's everywhere.
Yeah. So we really celebrated that extraordinary ordinariness of bicycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a result, we learned all sorts of things.
Well, we did. And mm-hmm. and actually, the impact of that show was pretty significant for families because kids learned so much. They picked up a lot of historical information and learned how important bicycles are.
Yes.
And so the inspiration to ride your bike more was kind of, kicked up a notch.
Yes.
Because of just understanding mm-hmm. how important a facet it is in yeah. our lives.
And it did sort of, I don't know if it's fair to say it triggered Bike Month, because Bike Month had already existed in the province, but I think it
Bike to Work Week has existed for quite a while.
Okay.
But I'm not sure Bike Month
happened. So Salmon Arm Bike Month
yeah.
was sort of tied into the exhibit.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing.
It's a thing.
And people keep asking us, are you going to do that bike show again? Well, let me tell you this for free. It took 2 years to do that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by some miracle of fate, we got the banana seat bike. Remember the last,
yes.
at the very last minute, we looked for, I don't know, 6 months?
Yeah.
To find a shiny banana seat bike. And yeah. then about 20 minutes before the show opened, I hear the buzzer go at the gallery door. And there it was.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It was bicycle miracles all around.
It was.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
It was.
And we had the recumbent. The recumbent.
Yeah. We had a 10 speed. We had a CCM 10 speed.
We had a bike from the 40s that was used for delivery
bike.
In
yes.
the wars.
It was had a first aid kit on the back. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was that impressed upon a lot of kids, because we had school tours come in for that show too. And kids wrote to us afterwards about how impressed they were to see that.
Wow.
That it was used to help people during
yes,
the war.
Yes, during the war.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of the original mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a tricycle, of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
And a BMX bike.
And a BMX bike that we found at the dump. Yeah.
Well, this is what happens, right? People, it's the new and shiny, new and shiny,
new
and
shiny.
New and shiny. And then the old goes away.
Yeah, and that, it lived on, that BMX.
It did.
My house, it did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things can get a new life.
But then it got run over, so.
Just leave that right off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No bicyclist on it, however. Just
no bicycles were harmed.
No, the bicycle was harmed, but no cyclists were harmed. Okay. Thank goodness. But so it was a great show, and we explored all kinds of ideas of the bicycle through history and how it's impacted, you know, wars and movements and mm-hmm. Significant societal change.
Yes. Well, and if we can, I'd like to talk about how it helped the progress of women's rights.
Yes.
3 years ago today, we were in the middle of an exhibition called The Bicycle as an Agent of Social Change mm-hmm. at the Art Gallery, in which we had bicycles and drawings of bicycles and bicycle facts and figures and bicycle-inspired artwork and
bicycle bells.
Yes. And we just had a really fun time celebrating the bicycle.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one of the big things that we talked about during that show is the bicycle as it played a role in women's evolution in society.
Yes.
And so one of the things, of course, that happened, like you said before, is the freedom,
mm-hmm.
right? All of a sudden, freedom of movement happened, and that was huge. And in fact, the change of women's clothing happened because of the bicycle.
Right, because otherwise we still might be out in our hoop skirts or something.
Well,
I don't know.
Right. I mean, talk about no freedom.
Yes.
The
corsets
amount,
and
yeah,
ugh.
The amount of clothing and holding in materials mm-hmm. that women were, well, expected to wear was immense.
Mm-hmm.
The weight of the average outfit was like whatever. I can't remember. It was like 33 pounds or something. I mean, it's just insane.
Wow. That's like a fitness regime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Maybe that's why they all had such tiny waists.
I bet. I bet. Anyway, but all of a sudden here's this.
So here's this bicycle, and women were permitted to ride, but they weren't at first. They weren't permitted to ride with their legs on either side of
this, because that, and you couldn't show any part of your leg, at
yeah.
least not a self-respecting.
Well, that's lady. Right. Yeah. And so guess what was invented especially to be able to ride a bike?
The padded bike short? No, that's too soon.
Too soon.
A little too soon.
The knickerbockers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they're basically really baggy
like
pants.
Balloony pants.
Yeah. They're baggy pants, but they fasten just around the knee.
Yes.
Together. So they kind of, so they were only pants from the knees down.
Okay.
They're kind of like a skirt to the knee and then fastened to make little pants.
Wow.
So those were invented basically so that women could ride bicycles.
There you go.
And not show any skin.
Yes, and it impacts fashion.
It does.
It's true.
It changed fashion. Mm-hmm. And we could fast forward.
But it also brought about the freedom, freedom of assembly, women's rights, the mm-hmm. vote, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
It's not a stretch of the imagination to say that the bicycle had a direct influence on women getting the vote.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That'd be a great master's thesis too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's done it. Yeah. Yeah. In 1895, mm-hmm. the bicycle that was constructed especially for women, and you know how girls' bikes have a lower bar in
yes,
the front?
Yes, right.
That was constructed especially to allow for the skirt
okay.
to exist.
Huh.
Without the skirt getting caught up.
And
in
they
puddles.
Still make boy
they still
bikes
make
and girl
them
bikes.
That way. Yeah. I know. Which is kind of strange because mm-hmm. we don't wear skirts.
No.
Or at least not on purpose.
No. Although there's a blogger in the States, I guess, how to look pretty on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it is, it can be a bit.
Yeah. Well,
well we, I think part of a barrier is the equipment.
Yes.
Right? Because
it is a huge barrier mm-hmm. for women. The helmet head is a problem. And we true. Talked about this, I think, way back at the time. It was I can't remember the year, not that long ago, like 10 years ago or whenever, when the helmet laws.
Oh, that's right. When they changed the laws.
Yeah. Yes. When the helmet laws came in BC, female ridership went down 30% mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. just because of helmet
yeah.
head. And come on, really, we got to figure something out.
I know.
And there has been an invention. There's a hood, inflatable hood helmet thing.
Like an airbag?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That so apparently you can wear, it looks like a collar, just okay. kind of like a pretty scarf, a jaunty Ooh. Scarf.
A jaunty scarf.
Yes. Ooh. And then when, if you have a impact of some kind, I'm sorry, I can't explain it any other way.
Oh,
then
boy.
I'm also doing hand motions here that nobody can see. It inflates quickly like an airbag and covers your head like an astronaut. And I can hardly imagine what kind of
I
impact
just know that would
have
go
to
so
happen.
Wrong for me. I'm sure it would suffocate
you'd
myself.
You hit a bug. Yeah. You'd hit a bump and it would just like, whoop. I can't see.
But still, it's disruptive innovation. Wow, it's true.
But this is the critical part here.
Okay.
If those gals can get that thing licensed, like if it can get standard approval or whatever, mm-hmm. that would bring female ridership back
way up.
Way up.
Exactly.
Because, and the other thing too is women are used as a barometer for cycling safety.
Okay.
If when a city is looking at their bicycle planning.
Yes.
They look at how many women ride and where women ride.
Okay.
Because women only ride where it's safe.
Okay.
And men don't seem to mind being in heavy traffic.
It's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they kind of see, okay, well, you know, we've only got like of the bicycles going by here, only 10% are women. Clearly it's not a safe
okay.
area.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you clever? Where did you find that?
I don't know. Is it part of a Vancouver cycling study?
Oh, yeah. And they're so active in Vancouver
on
that whole front. It's great. And the Ministry of Transportation has set aside significant, I guess it's now a priority, plus funding for rideable transportation, like self-motorized transportation.
Oh,
bike paths.
Yeah.
I mean, they call it some fancy word, but that's
and
what
I just want to say this. If anybody of any kind of municipal planning power is out there, get the bike trails off the roads.
The bike trails off the roads.
Make a bike highway that's not beside a car highway.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
Oh, wouldn't that be delightful?
Well, I just feel like, you know, Salmon Arm, we've got a few nice greenways mm-hmm. where you can travel down, but essentially you end up on a road somewhere having to connect with somewhere.
Yes.
And no matter how much space there is left on the side of the road, I mean, there isn't in Salmon Arm. It's dangerous in lots of places mm-hmm. where it's technically the bike route.
Mm-hmm.
But even if there's lots of space allotted, there's still drivers that drive too close to you
mm-hmm.
or they drive so far away from you that they're endangering everyone around you
yes.
because they're driving in the other lane around you.
It's true.
And it smells bad. Like diesels go by and you're just coughing and choking up exhaust all the time.
Yeah,
and I just feel like really we've got all this beautiful green space. Let's, you know, let's make that the walking and biking highway.
Active transportation.
Yeah.
It's and these are conversations that are being held all over. Ministry of Health, Ministry of Transportation, social innovation, social development, right?
Right.
Because it leads to a healthier community. And you know what a healthier community is?
What?
Less expensive.
How about that?
I know, right?
And we're talking long-term investment
yes,
too, right?
Yes, of course
because
we are. Yeah.
In 20, 30, 40 years, we're looking at less healthcare costs, you know, less hip replacements, less knee replacements.
But it's you know, it's not something that happens overnight. Just like the bicycle itself.
Yeah.
They're still innovating it.
Yeah. Well, and that's good because there's constant changing needs of the community.
Now it's all about the California Cruiser is back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know that the handlebar situation has been a difficult one for many years. You know, when we ride on a bike, we lean forward on the handlebars. And I don't know if you noticed, but your shoulders are generally up around your knee or knees.
Yeah, your knees.
Your shoulders come up around your ears when you're...
there's actual physics to how to make the bike, the momentum. And your position is important and the cadence of the pedals. And
right.
Yeah.
Because you get better, like, I mean, you get better power on your pedals if you're leaning forward, right? Like, we all know when we're sitting back,
la,
we don't feel like we have enough pressure on the front push.
Right.
But anyway, so this whole shoulder up around your ears thing is a problem we have as computer desk workers and things like that as well. So it doesn't help that situation. We've got to deal with this handlebar. So I got a little... booster on my handlebars to bring them up just 2 inches.
Yes.
That made such a big difference.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Because it is a, you know, a bicycle is a work of engineering, but it's also all about human physics, right? And motion and momentum and cadence. And it's really cool.
And we're all individuals.
Yes.
Right?
And we all have bodies. Different proportional, right?
Yeah. We have body needs and body strengths. And we should actually, it's almost in a way, we should be having bicycles custom built for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's seriously fitted properly anyway. Yeah,
like a good bra.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You go and you spend the big bucks and get properly fitted for a bra.
Yes.
And it lasts you for years.
Yes.
And like you feel really comfortable. And it works for everyone. A bicycle needs to be the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe we should just...
Who knew? There's a disruptive innovation comparing bras to bicycles.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's a natural fit.
Absolutely.
No pun intended there.
Well, you know, and then, and you don't have to wear those Italian bike racing jerseys and the pedal clip shoes and the tight.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear that.
No, because, okay, so speaking of blogger ladies.
Sometimes, I mean, I guess I would say that in any sport, there's an exclusivity element, right?
Yeah.
And we want to think, I'm the next Tour de France guy. So I'm going to wear my pedal shoes and my tight. I mean, silly.
Oh, yeah. Like,
because
I would
not
be caught dead
wearing
those.
Yeah. You don't need to worry about wind resistance.
No.
You know?
No.
And there's plenty of good equipment that you can wear that is practical and looks nice and you can put a skirt on or.
Yeah. And okay. So there's the thing.
Yeah.
So this lady who's written about how to look like a lady on,
pretty
on a
bike. Yeah.
Her main thing is. Leggings, those capri leggings.
Yeah,
you can wear under any skirt or dress, and you're fine, right? And that's all about making sure that your skirt isn't
going to get stuck in the
pedals.
Yeah, yeah. So, safety first.
Yeah. So if you're wearing a big billowy skirt, there's ways of kind of tucking it and dealing with it, and so you can do it. And the leggings are like you can get cool Lycra leggings that will look pretty fancy while you're riding and get totally covered up while you're walking. So there's ways of managing this
and
still looking nice.
There's and gloves for your hands and there's lots you can
do. We just need to deal with this helmet thing. It's the biggest issue. I mean, unless we all just shave our heads and go with the little spiky look, but I don't think that's gonna happen. No,
or ponytails.
But ponytails don't work with
not even a bandana under your.
Oh, well, I mean, it's you just have
that
you
works
just
for me.
Are
but
always
because then if you're sweaty,
sticky,
you can have a bandana too. But
I know, but then you still got the sticky, sweaty strands in the front of your hair.
Or how about showers at the workplace?
Okay, but that takes too long.
Okay,
because then I have to start all over again, right? I might as well not even. I just roll out of bed and bike to work, and then I can do everything at work. Who wants to do that?
Done that. It's lovely.
Do you have a shower at your workplace?
I do not have my current workplace, but previous workplaces, yes, I have had.
Oh, okay. So you just roll out of bed and go?
Yeah. Awesome.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's another way that the corporate world can support bicycling. Sure.
And shoes, you know, maybe there's footwear that will double as, because it's hard to ride a bike in high heels.
Yeah.
Although all of Denmark and Holland seem to do it and they get away with it. I don't know what it is about us.
Oh, we're I don't know what it is. Yeah,
are we
you're right.
too practical?
Or? I can't ride in high heels. In fact, you just saw me. You said you saw me on the street.
Yes.
And we're all alarmed because I was wearing runners.
I know. Well, it's not like you to wear runners.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, she must have ridden her bike today. She has a runner on.
Yeah, I just didn't change my shoes when I got there. But yes, I feel kind of like there's not much option for sandal wear that's good on your bike and still good for the rest of the day.
No, because your toes are important. You can't be hitting rocks. And
I know. Yeah. And chicory. Mm-hmm. Chicory is the bane of my existence.
What is chicory?
Well, chicory is a plant that grows along the sides of the road. And it's got a very heavy-duty woody stem.
Oh.
It makes pretty little purple flowers.
Yes.
And it's a bit spiky. Anyway, it seems to stick out. Like, it grows right next to the asphalt.
Okay.
And then sticks out into the road.
Ouch.
So when a giant diesel truck is going past me and I'm trying to get as far off the road as I can, then that chicory is hitting my feet and my calves. Mm-mm-mm. And I get to work and I've actually got little slices in my legs where those stems have hit me.
War wounds.
I know. Yeah. And I feel like, as a matter of fact, I wrote a letter to Chad, I think, in 2002. Saying, Counselor Chad Eliason, can you please get your city crew to deal with the chicory on the side of Lakeshore Road? Because I'm injured every day.
Every day.
And actually, I'm not sure if this had anything to do with my letter to Chad.
But
the chicory got cut down one day and it was very nice for about a month.
Voila.
I know. All it takes is somebody to say,
do something.
Oh, this is important to our cyclists. And so we're going to take care of it.
Yeah. Get on your bike and do something.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's also the
Well, that's an expression too in the UK. On your bike. Like stop being lazy and go out and deal with it.
Oh.
Right? Get on your bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, before we go to break, I'll close with one lovely quote from H.G. Wells.
Yes.
He says, "When I see an adult on a bicycle, I do not despair for the future of the human race."
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely.
There's hope.
Neither do I.
Just like NDP in Alberta. There is hope.
Yes. And hope is better than fear. Jack was right. Right?
Thank you for that.
Wow. We are.
We're talking about...
But that's what you want. If you want to go all over the map, what do you need?
A bicycle.
Your bicycle.
So, but we're talking about...
I want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah.
Right? That was a good song.
Yeah, that was excellent. So yeah, we've been talking about its effect on social innovation, social change, how it changes how it changed women, emancipation, gave people freedom.
Oh, wars. It changed the course of world wars. It changed the course of communism. It's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is a piece of powerful technology, but it's also a work of art.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And that's what we wanted to celebrate.
It's movable sculpture. It's practical sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So riding the bike can be an art form because we have everything from racing and mountain biking and so there's all kinds of
BMXing and
there's all kinds of activities and events that have come out of the different varieties of bicycles. There's even events that have come out of bicycle messenger service.
Really?
Yes. It's only that, I mean, did you know that the bicycle messenger service was invented in San Francisco in California when there was a railway strike?
Oh, see?
Yeah. Wow. And so some inventive bicycle shop guy just started to send his hired cyclist to go out and they went 30 miles at a time, 30 miles past to the next guy, 30 miles past to the next guy. And there was like five riders. The last rider did 60 miles. So that was the beginning of the bicycle messenger service.
Wow. And it goes on today. Those guys are brave.
Yeah. And there's bicycle messenger competitions.
Oh, of course there are.
Of course.
Yeah. And then there's, Tour de France competition.
Well, there's Tour de France. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know that 1984 was the first Tour de France feminine run?
Oh.
As late as that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know there was one. Sorry. Yeah. But the bicycle as a piece of technology, it's a very complex a very complex production
yes.
to make a bicycle. And in economics, there's a theory that if a country can make its own bicycles, it's moving from third world to the next level.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have, so in terms of having those production capacities
yeah.
to mine the, you know, mine the metals and fabrication and engineering and had to have to have be able to get all these things in a single plant, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the litmus test.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah. So if you notice, and you look at the world economy and you think about where the first bikes were made, Germany, UK, right? When mm-hmm. Canada started making bikes, when China started making bikes,
yeah.
right? And if you map that out, you would you could almost show the this is the history of world commerce.
Wow.
It's pretty powerful. Vietnam's making bicycles now. Like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's yeah. so interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a thesis in that too.
Oh yeah, totally. But it is, it, you know, still yet over and above all that, it's still a beautiful piece of art.
Like, it is. Yeah.
We all talk about, and in this show, we had a in the back part of the gallery, we had like a little interactive center where people could write their best bike stories. Mm-hmm. And they always start with, when I was little,
yeah.
I had a bike, it was red,
yeah.
right? They always talk about it had four speeds, so yeah. size, shape, color.
Yeah.
And, you know, so from a design point of view, it's there's just so many beautiful, balanced elements about it. It's mm-hmm. practical, it's beautiful, it's balanced, it's, you know, it moves. It's
my
know.
First banana seat bike was, bike. Green, sparkly.
It I had a green sparkly one too.
Really?
Yes.
Like that limey green?
Yes, yes,
oh
yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, with the sparkly seat.
Yeah.
And then the little sort of bar on the back
yeah.
where your friends could hold on when you well, doubled them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Dangerous.
The banana seat bike was, I don't know why it stopped being produced.
I think it's coming back.
Really?
I bet it's going to come. Well,
because
if the
whole
California Cruiser came back, the banana seat bike can't be far behind.
Oh, okay. Because I just think doubling is important, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times do you wish you could throw your friend on the back because, you know, otherwise you're walking next to your bike because your friend is walking, right?
Well, I haven't doubled in a while, but yeah.
I just think that there should be an adult banana seat bike.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just, you know.
Right? And then the tricycle, they're usually little and red.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just, red so there's white. Iconic.
And the little streamers that come off the handlebars.
Oh, yeah. Or remember putting like a...
Playing cards
yeah. and
so that it made a motorcycle sound.
A thingy? What do you call, yes. What do you call those? Pince-a-linge. I never know how to say it in English. The thing that you clip to the card on your spoke.
I don't know. The thing that you clip to it?
Didn't you put like a...
Well, there was like a little sort of snap bead thing that would go up and down.
Oh! Surprise!
I think he's trying to tell us something.
Is that your way of saying you're off topic? Okay, fine. We're off topic.
Okay. Well, anyway. In any case, there were lots of accessories
yes.
that people could add to individualize their bike.
And there's some major designers who have worked on bicycles, like especially in Italy. If you think about the big super design houses, right? Pirelli tires, Ferrari, you know. Yes, they make things, but they're also designers. And they all have their hands in bike stuff at the beginning.
Ferrari has their hands
yes.
in bike stuff?
Yeah.
Is there like a Ferrari
And it
bike?
Might have started there and then they became so good at it. Like Pirelli, I think, was first a bike
manufacturer.
Like a rubber tire.
Oh, yes.
Bicycle,
yes.
rubberized tire manufacturer. And now look at them. Right?
Well,
they're like on the race car, you know, like
oh,
they're the,
right.
the best tire you can buy, apparently.
Huh. So you can get your start with bicycles.
That's right. And the Wright brothers. Who invented manned flight?
Yeah.
What did they own?
Yeah, it was a bicycle shop.
They owned a bicycle store.
Yeah. And they built bicycles.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Schwinn. Schwinn's another good example
oh, okay.
of big innovation.
Yeah.
Because they designed their first Excelsior to withstand
oh, what
the
an
abuse.
Awesome name.
Yeah, to withstand the abuse of teenage boys.
Huh.
It was actually the first prototype mountain bike.
Huh.
So designing it to be beat up.
Oh,
and
I
taken
see.
Over
so because
and,
yeah, because boys are rougher on their things than I see.
Yeah.
I see,
and that was yeah the 1930s, and look what happened after that.
Well, look at the you know some of those mountain bikes are like tanks, man. They're totally Yeah. You can't, you know, and then you think of, so the bicycle as a piece of art, but also the bicycle that as an inspiration for art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at all those beautiful, all that amazing poster work that was done in the late 1800s, early 1900s with, you know, the bicycles and the, oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. And Ai Weiwei.
Yeah, Ai Weiwei.
Yeah, his bicycle wheel.
Oh, yeah. So it's still inspiring to this day.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an inspirational machine.
And I know people are probably thinking, this is so random, bikes, art. What are they talking about? But it's, you know, nobody has these conversations about toasters or coffee makers. Like, it's not just a coffee maker. It's a piece of art.
Yeah. And how many
Although
times...
some coffee makers are, right?
Yes, or, actually, you know, mine is.
Toasters or wrenches. It's a piece of technology that has in it so much design and art and sculpture. Yeah.
But how many times do we want to put, you know, decorative accessories onto our toaster?
No.
Right? Like,
gosh, I hope not.
Like, we're not just running around going, oh gosh, I want a basket for my toaster to hold the extra bread before I toast it. Mm. No. I want a basket for my bike. Mm-hmm. And I got two cool panniers and I got a rack pack and I got this awesome bell that goes ding, ding. So, yeah. I mean, there is ways of pimping yourself out there.
Yes.
That, or not yourself.
Yeah.
Your bike that you don't do with any other utilitarian object.
No.
You this is very individual.
Right. And I think that's, for me anyway, that's the fascination. Mm-hmm. Is it's a mode of transportation. It's a piece of art. You know, it's a sculpture. It's an innovator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Yes, it is.
I just want to go home and hug
my
bike.
I know. Now I want to just ride. I do. I'm really attached to my bicycles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love mine, but I'm not as attached to it because my first bike that I really like, that I loved and had a basket and I made it all pretty, it was stolen.
Oh, see, that is bike trauma.
I know. Bike trauma can be long lasting.
Yes, it can.
And so my new bike, which is lovely and has all the appropriate hardware attached to hold various and sundries, I just don't feel the same way about it.
Because it's not your first. And the other thing about your bike, speaking of the art of bikes, is it also mimics your life, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So your first bike was likely a tricycle.
Yes.
I mean, nowadays they're run bikes, but they're adorable too. Mm-hmm. And then when then you go to training wheels.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty big,
right?
Actually.
And then the training wheels come off.
Technically, even when you have training wheels, you're still on a two-wheeler.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you go
so
from
you're showing how grown up you are.
It's the evolution, right? Yeah. And then you go, so then I went from the two-wheeler training wheels. I don't actually remember learning to ride. I only remember the little bike.
Yeah.
And I lived in an apartment building in Toronto, so I had to bring it upstairs every time. Yuck.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then after that, you go to the banana seat bike.
Yeah.
Right? So you're cooler.
Because that
was
the tweener bike.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in between. Mm-hmm. And then when you're a for sure teenager.
10-speed.
10-speed. Hello.
Right? I have arrived.
Yeah. Watch out, world. And then, of course, they didn't have any panties or anything. So
no.
You have to put everything in your backpack.
Yeah. And which meant you had to put both shoulder straps on.
Yes.
Which was like.
Kind of nerdy, but yeah. And then I don't know about you, but for me, I started touring, like bike touring. So I got a proper 21 speed.
Oh,
right.
Amazing.
With the panniers.
Cause did you tour?
And the fenders so that the water wouldn't go up your back. I rode twice from Ottawa to, once to New Brunswick and once to Nova Scotia.
Wow.
It's a great way to see the world.
Yeah.
And cheap.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Bicycles. Run on fat,
and
save
so
you money.
Hour in a car.
Cars run on money and make you fat.
Exactly.
And, just saying.
And to put it in perspective, an hour in a car is a day on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour on a bike is a day on foot.
Oh.
So it's pretty exponential.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the halfway in between.
Yeah.
You want to get somewhere speedy?
Yeah.
Take your bike.
Exactly.
You know, if you're just like, I don't want to take my car, but I need to get there fast. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. It's
well,
right there.
Depending on the network, it can actually be faster to take.
Yes.
Well, it was always faster to take my bike than take the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our engineer who rode in today even said that our neighbor was leaving in his giant truck at the same time. And when he got to a point where it was nearly downtown, he pulled, like he's going down Lakeshore and this guy in his giant truck is just arriving at Lakeshore at the intersection. So hello.
Yeah.
It's faster.
Yeah, it is faster.
Especially in a little town like Salmon Arm, where when you go to work, you're going all downhill.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the going home part.
Yeah. And we are very fortunate to have a transportation system that holds bikes. So use it. The bus has a 2-bike holder.
Yes, please use BC Transit. We pay a lot of money for it. We need to use it. It's an incredible resource.
You pay $1.50. It actually costs about $6 per ride.
Eight.
So let's just use it for bicycling, because then at the very least, you've gotten a little bit of exercise going to work.
Yeah.
Go as far as you can home, then hop the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so easy.
Yeah.
It is beyond easy.
Yeah.
I can do it, then you can do it.
It's there for us. Yes, yes.
It is there for us.
All that to say that, you know, it's the art of living too. As you grow, your bike changes. Like, I got my little hybrid now, and I don't foresee getting a mountain biker. I think I'm sort of hit my stride now. I'm good.
But
So I'm sorry your bike was stolen, but then you got a new bike.
Well, I do, and it's serving me well. Yes. So there's nothing wrong with this bike. It's an awesome bike. It's just that whole, you know, connection thing hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I'll get there.
We'll get there.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I thought that was longer.
Weird. Feels like
time warp. Anyway, dramatic moment in the arts.
Okay, so speaking of, what did you call this?
Disruptive technology.
Ooh.
Or disruptive innovation.
Yeah.
So sometimes we innovate like little things, right?
Yeah.
Like we innovate, we go from a 10 speed to a 12 speed to a 21 speed, or we go from a giant desktop computer to a smaller one, to a smaller one, to a Mac, to a tablet, right? So those are like teeny tiny along the way marginal innovations. And then every now and then, wham, there's this new thing, a disruptive technology.
That changes everything.
It changes everything. And I think we saw one last week.
What is it?
I think the Tesla in-home Powerwall battery could change the world we live in.
Wow.
I really do.
Yeah.
So and how? I mean, it's not just my opinion, but so the Powerwall system, it's called. And he announced it last week, Elon Musk, he owns Tesla cars.
Oh, okay.
So he's not just about cars, right? He's about electricity. And he says in this, he had a press conference or a press event, and he said, we happen to have a giant powerful nuclear reactor in the sky called the sun, right? And the problem has been there's no way to harness or store that.
Yeah.
Energy in a sustainable way until dun, 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 this power pack.
Wow. So I don't understand it at all. How does it work?
Well, I don't understand how it works, but what it is it's a battery that will store sun power.
Okay.
And so what it means is this whole concept of living off the grid, right? And it minimizes the uncertainty.
Right.
Right? Because you can store it. So you don't have to get up in the morning and say, sheesh, I hope it's sunny tomorrow because I got to do a load of laundry, right? It's not like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the backup system necessarily.
Oh, okay.
And the reason, so I thought, wow, that's so interesting. I bet that could change a lot. And I kind of left it there. But then Saturday, I was watching CBC Change World, and the business columnists there were this one guy, he's, you know, maybe in his 30s, super hip, like he's a hipster dude and knows everything and quite impressive young man. He said, in 10 years, he foresees that in 10 years, we will have no public electricity utilities.
That is significant.
Right? And when you think about the power of the Quebec Hydro, the BC Hydro, the Ontario Hydro, like I just started to think, OMG, that is big news. And he's like, this is so disruptive.
So this is, I mean, we've seen amazing innovation before that has been eaten, swallowed up, destroyed by big corporations because it threatened their place in the marketplace. So
who owns the sun?
Yeah. Well, except that, I mean, this has been solar power has been, I mean, power cells and everything that can kind of gather sun power has been kicking around for a very long time. But, but things keep happening to prevent it from being developed.
Mm-hmm. And we've always talked about the money is in the chain, right? The money is in the distribution chain.
Yeah.
So hydro, it's water and dams.
Yeah.
And dams are expensive to build.
They are.
Very expensive. And then you put the power in the chain and you sell it down the chain to the end user. But suddenly, if you can get the energy from the sun into a battery pack attached to your house, there is no more distribution chain.
Wow. Right? That is big.
Huge. And And now while, you know, he is a business columnist and it is his job to, you know, make things big news, it is foreseeable that within, you know, our lifetime.
I'm so excited about that.
Isn't that something?
That is a dramatic moment.
Yes, very dramatic moment. We could be... And it's like a bicycle. It's a disruptive technology or a disruptive innovation.
That's going to take us in a new direction.
They don't come along that often. No. There's a lot of little innovations that happen and we don't even see them necessarily.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
We go from iPhone 4 to iPhone 5.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of things. They're not perceptible, but these ones could be extremely perceptible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there would be whole countries that would skip the power grid process then, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's...
And think about the emerging, you know, I don't like that word third world, but you know what
I mean.
Right?
Well,
emerging
exactly,
economies.
Well, that's, yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying is mm-hmm. that, you know, we're looking, well, we've got how many countries in the world that you'd consider first world economies that are, that have problems with pollution and, you know, just environmental toxins and too many cars on the road, all of the things.
Still heating their homes with, you know.
Coal burning plants, mm-hmm. right? And we don't want to see and. You know, all the other countries that haven't got those things yet, we wouldn't want to see them producing all those because we know the damage they do.
Mm-hmm.
And but you don't want to prevent them from evolving in their own way through their economic steps that we did.
Mm-hmm.
But providing that kind of technology now to them means they don't have to go through that.
Right.
They don't have to destroy their own space before they get to a place mm-hmm. where they can.
And then the grid itself is quite, you know, it's. Like when we, so for council, we were at Southern Interior Local Government Association meetings in Kamloops last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all there, right? Because all of these groups need the ear of government in when it comes to developing policy, whether it's provincial, federal, municipal. So Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers was there, and BC Hydro was there, and Fortis Gas was there. And they're all there saying, you know, because it's important that elected officials understand how all of it works. You know, there are also a food co-op was there. Like there's all sorts of people there.
Yeah.
Looking for the ear, right? Or what have you. And the BC Hydro talk was really, I thought, quite impressive in terms of how big that network is. There's like 900,000 power poles or something in this province.
Wow.
And how many miles and kilometers of network and size of facilities and where they serve. And, you know, it's really impressive and sophisticated, right? Like it's a very sophisticated system. And then something along this comes along, you know, that change is here, man. Started last night.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. and that's the kind of significant change the bicycle made.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, ordinary can be so extraordinary.
Yeah.
And
simplification.
Yes.
We don't have to be complex. We don't have to be iPod designers.
No.
To make big change in the world.
No.
Sometimes it's just drilling it down into its simplest form
mm-hmm.
to make a solution mm-hmm. that works.
So what's your bicycle moment?
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh.
That's why where you sort of had the power that the bicycle gives you and you're like, yeah, this is like riding my bike.
Yeah.
Or what's your best bike story, I guess, is...
Yeah.
When it comes down to.
Well, for most of us, it was when, like, the freedom we felt, right? Mm-hmm. The freedom of transportation mm-hmm. when you're a kid and you don't have the ability to, you know, drive away from your.
No, and your network keeps getting bigger, like your backyard to your this block around your house.
Yeah.
To,
and then you get to go to the store by yourself.
The store. On your. I know. I know. My kids still love that.
Yeah.
Can I take my bike to the store? Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Put your helmet on. I say that like 100 times a day. Put your helmet on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well, it's all very big, big,
it's pretty
changing
dramatic.
World. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's critics of this thing, of course, but as just, there always are.
Well, there always are mm-hmm. going to be. And we have to learn to just, like, that's the thing about balance, right? Like, we can't, when people have extreme opinions, you have to just acknowledge that opinion.
Yeah.
You can't be convinced by it.
No.
You just have to acknowledge it and add it to your list of
and
information.
And consider it too, right?
Yeah.
Because it's never... There's never one thing. You really have to look at the whole picture.
Exactly.
But I think
collect
this
your own
is,
information.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
I'm just thinking about that cartoon I saw in the Globe and Mail where there's this big guy in a suit sitting at a big corporate desk. And
yes.
And he says, you want oil? We own that. And then the next frame is, you want natural gas? We own that. and like all these things through the resource. You want coal? We own the mines. And then it gets to the end. You want solar power? That's not feasible.
Well, solar and wind, right? You can't own it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Nobody can own it. And that's why this gives the power to the people, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is pretty darn exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Very much related to the bicycle.
It is about, yes, it totally is about that.
Power to the people. Okay, that's so right. We have 5 minutes.
Yes.
To talk about upcoming events. But first I want to say what an amazing opening night we had for the youth exhibition.
Oh,
because
yeah,
art on Friday. Wahoo. 268 people came through those doors.
Not at the same time if the fire chief is listening. There were never more than the maximum.
Remember how long teenagers pay attention to anything, that's right? So it was in and out. It was never shoulder to shoulder, actually. It was busy and lovely and wonderful, and all the food went and all the punch went. So aww, that's really good.
And so much talent. Wow.
Yeah, well, 212 pieces since. In the show. And there are...
That's beaucoup de pieces.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. There are so many incredible, wonderful works.
Aww.
Well, I mean, all the works are important and expressive and amazing. But there are definitely some standout, mature pieces in that show.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did recognize some of them with awards.
Oh, wow.
We did.
Lovely.
We gave a curator's award.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave 4 special recognition awards that were... recognizing, first of all, like excellent use of medium,
mm-hmm.
composition,
mm-hmm.
the presentation, because of course it's an important exhibition for them to have the experience to present their work well.
Yeah, because you can't just like rip a picture out of your notebook and say, here, Tracy, can you put this up?
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be framed properly. It has to be...
Has to have the hardware on the back.
Proper hardware. Yeah, these are all things I'm learning. It has to be clean.
Yeah, the glass can't be gross and icky and be stored in the garage for 10 years.
Don't come to my house then. I got some frames I could use a little cleaning, but...
Yeah. But building a relationship with your local gallery includes presenting your work well.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, then you're noticed for, like, your potential for building that relationship further is there. Whereas when you just kind of drag in something that doesn't have anything.
Maybe there's a crack in the glass or that's no go.
It's a no-go
zone.
Yeah. And if there's no way for us to hang it on the wall, it's a no-go.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we turn it around, there's masking tape holding it into the back of the frame and no hardware. Nope. Or you got a piece of string on there.
C'est dommage. Glue gun. Désolé.
Hot glue. Nope. Not happening.
Can't. Yeah. So it's important to know how to deliver the art.
That's right.
Yes.
So all 212 of these are hanging securely and happy on the wall. The exhibition is up for all of May, all the way to May 30th. Gallery hours, Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4. Must see.
Must see.
And it's called Because Art. And we're tweeting on Because Art every once in a while, too. Some
hashtag.
Of the comments that are made on our little thought bubbles.
Yes, because art is important. So we're lucky. And there's lots of us like that in town.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Every community needs a few of them. And sometimes they're hard to... No,
we can't do that.
I know. It's hard to manage people like that because they get excited and they see things as necessary. Mm-hmm. We have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important that they're part of the conversation.
Yes.
Because some things you do have to do.
Yes.
Some things can wait and take a balanced approach.
Yes.
But it's just critical that they're there.
Yes.
To push.
Mm-hmm.
We need it.
We sure do.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone had said, bike. I don't think that's a very good idea.
No. Let's just stick with this car
thing.
Thank
you for whoever,
doing.
Said yes to the bike.
Yeah.
And thank you to all of you in the arts community who continually say yes to, we will host that or we will help make that happen.
Yeah.
Right? And
See
us on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Salmon Arm Arts Center.
Yes.
And you can also find upcoming arts events on the Participate page of our website at salmonarmartcenter.ca.
Yes.
You can also listen to old shows that we've done on our Listen site because podcasts are going up on there all the time.
Yes. We're always trying to disrupt something, aren't we?
We are disrupting something.
We'll
maybe Artscape is a disruptive innovation.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, have fun disrupting and innovating, and I'll talk to you next week.
And have a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, that's right. Bye now.